Our Heavenly Father, we pray that from your word this morning you might encourage and teach us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting. It's challenging. It's exciting. It's joyful. It's frustrating. It's rewarding. And I could use some more words. What am I describing? Where do you see these things in life? Well, I'm using these words to describe being a parent. When your baby is born, they are so delicate. How do you handle them? When I see those photos of babies that are on somebody's hand, I think, how would you like to have to look after or care for one like that? But you look at them and say, he smiled. Only to be told, it's wind. As they grow, you get excited. As they take their first steps and their first words, of course, and it's always, g'day, Dad. As they grow, our expectations grow. We do all manner of things to encourage them in their lives. Regardless of what it is, we're excited about their growth and their development. As time goes by, we realise that they cannot remain children. And what's more, we wouldn't want them to. As they develop, our hopes rise for them, and we seek to encourage them in their walk through life. And eventually, we have to let them go, hoping that they can be responsible for their own future. In a way, if this were not so, if this wasn't to happen, then we would be disappointed, wouldn't we? We'd be disappointed. And when it does, we see them progressing in life, and we can feel a sense of pride. I guess in a way, the only thing I can say about Mother's Day and this sermon today is thank you, mothers, for the contribution you make to the life of our children. In the first few verses of our reading from Hebrews today, the writer is expressing great disappointment to those to whom he is writing. Great disappointment. Now, I'm sure that he wasn't disappointed in everyone, but there were sufficient numbers for him to express his disappointment as he wrote this letter. The writer wanted to explain to them deeper truths about the things of God. But he says that it's going to be difficult because they were slow to learn. They had not progressed in their faith. And that's some statement, isn't it? That they had not progressed in their faith. They have been accused of not having grown in their faith. Instead of sitting down to a solid meal, they are still sucking the milk bottle. They have not progressed in their walk with God. And this is really quite some accusation that he's making to these people who he knows. It's one thing to be a child of God, but quite another to only have a childlike knowledge and a relationship with him. How wonderful to be able to have a deep and meaningful conversation with our children as they develop and grow. To share in their hopes and their desires and not to talk to them as babies and infants. The writer suggests that it is as a result of developing our relationship with God that we mature and grow, and in doing so, we can distinguish between good and evil. I guess as we read these verses, we need to ask ourselves about our relationship with God. And what is our spiritual diet? Have you and I, progressed from milk to solid food? Are we still infants? As far as God is concerned, or are we mature? The truth is that we cannot stand still. We either advance or we drop back. I'm not sure who said these words, but I think it's pretty true. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. Was that arthritis group or somebody said that? I'm not sure. But it's true, isn't it? And it's probably true in every aspect of life, including our relationship with God. If we don't spend our time with God, then we'll lose our relationship with God. The writer had an expectation that after such a long time as Christians, they would be able to share their faith, and he speaks about the need to be teachers. But it hasn't happened. They have not grown in their relationship. It's true that if our faith is weak, then when testing times come, and they do, it's easy to falter and fall. And how sad when this happens. And often it's a result of our failure to grow in the things of God. You can hear this question being asked of us, not just of the Hebrews, but being asked of us as we sit here Sunday by Sunday. Has your faith grown? Have you matured in your faith? Or are you still a preschooler? The attitude of the writer of this letter is interesting. After saying all of this, you would think that he'd say to them, well, okay, let's go back to the beginning. Let's start at the beginning. Let's progress through this. Let's build your faith. But no. He says, therefore, let us leave the elementary things. Let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. Now, some of you may have a copy of the message. He translates this first verse of chapter 6. He says, so come on, let's leave the preschool finger-painting exercises on Christ and get on with the grand work of art. That's not bad, is it? Let's leave the preschool finger-painting exercise on Christ and get on with the grand work of art. He has no intention of going back over things, no matter how basic. There is a need to move on. And he does with the very same strong words of chapter 6, verses 4 to 6, where it says, it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Notice that he's not accusing his readers of falling away, but he's warning them. He is warning them of what happens if they fall away. In other words, he's saying, be very careful how you live your Christian life. I was thinking about this and how terrible it would be to be told by your family that they no longer want to have anything to do with you. How would you feel if all of a sudden your family said, get out, don't want anything more to do with you. No longer are you going to share in love and care and security and warmth. We don't want you to be part of our family because of what you have done. I can't imagine what that would be like. Can you? But it would be terrible. I see that as being different from someone who says, I don't want any more to do with you lot, and walks away from his family. I've taken some funerals where some members of the family have been told, we don't want you to come. Son or a daughter, sister or a brother, has been told, don't come to this funeral of our mum or our dad. Just hard to believe, isn't it? But that's how far they've been sent away. In a way, both these situations exist here in this reading for this morning. There's a failure to be part of the family, and the difficulty of the family trying to restore that broken relationship. Again, the writer of this letter is not saying that it's happened in that church that he's writing to, but he's wanting to warn them about the possibilities of it happening. However, he's confident that his readers have not reached this point in their Christian lives. Verse 9, even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvation. Here's a word of encouragement and hope, remembering that he's not long ago told them that they were still babies. He encourages them in their Christian walk. In verse 11 he says that he wants them to become diligent in their Christian growth. He wants them to be sure of their Christian hope. He doesn't want them to be lazy Christians. Now, it's so easy to become lazy Christians. You don't even have to try, do you? But you can become lazy Christians. And since retirement, having been retired for 5 years, Marge and I have noticed how easy it is to get up on Sunday morning and go to church and then go home. It's so easy. Doesn't require any effort. Oh, you have to clean yourself up a bit. It can become a formality. But if that's all that we are prepared to do as Christians, then I would want to suggest that our growth in the things of God is limited. The writer concludes by suggesting that these Christians imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. He's not suggesting that they follow, but imitate faithful men and women who through faith have lived outstanding lives and will inherit the crown of life that has been promised for them. In our church, in our congregation, who are those who should be imitated? Who are those among us who should be imitated? Who would we want to use as the basis for building our Christian life, even at our age? Who? This, I think, is a challenge for each of us. We need to ask ourselves, is the life I have with God, is the life that I have with God such that someone would imitate my life? And if not, why not? I think the challenge from our reading for today is to seek to grow in our faith, to walk with God and not become careless and weak in our faith. We need to be encouraged by the Christian lives of others, and we need to be an encouragement to others as they develop and grow in theirs. We need to read our Bibles. We need to study our Bibles. We need to spend time in prayer. And we need to spend time in prayer with others. We need to worship week by week. And we need to listen to what God is saying as we hear the word of God preached. We need to share with others what we have learned. Leave the milk behind and get stuck into solid food, the things of God. So how strong is your faith? How rich is your knowledge of God? How strongly do you desire to share your relationship with God with others? We need to build our relationship with our Lord Jesus, who gives us life and has brought us into this family where we are able to say, "Our Father." Let's not be lazy as Christians, but rather let us be diligent as we walk with Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son and for all that he has done for us, for his faithfulness to you. We pray that we might live lives that others might want to imitate as far as our relationship with you is concerned. And we pray that we may look at others and seek to imitate their lives. Help us develop and grow in our Christian walk with you, not to be lazy or careless, but to seek to be more like you in every aspect of our life. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.